start with a roll call, please.
Thank you. Member Chung. Member Garcia.
Present.
Member Freitas.
Present.
Substitution Rutherford for Walpole.
Present.
Thank you. Templeton, Member Templeton.
Present.
Member Thole.
Present.
Member Manning.
Present.
Member Coburn. Chair Ryan.
Present.
Thank you.
All right. Any considerations or late additions or changes to the agenda?
No, there are not any changes to the agenda.
We'll move on to oral communications. Any person may address the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Board of Directors during the oral communications period. All oral communications should be directed to items or issues that would be within the jurisdiction of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter, but not on today's agenda. Board members will not take action or respond immediately to oral communications presented, but may choose to follow up at a later time, either individually or on a subsequent agenda. Do we have any oral communications? Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Am I good?
Oh, dear. You're very good.
I'm the first act here. Hi, my name is Kathy Helmer, and I'm a longtime, 15-year plus volunteer at the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter. I'm also on the foundation board. I've been on the foundation board for, I think, 6 years. And I actually just wanted to give a shout out to the foundation, which you don't hear about all these people that work behind the scenes and do a lot for the shelter. And I think their participation is just a great gift to the shelter, to the JPA board, and the community. We have 8 members to the board right now. So that's, we have 4 fairly new members, and they're bringing a lot of talent, energy, and dedication to the board. Many of them work full-time jobs, and yet they also volunteer, a lot of them do. And then there's us old-timers that kind of bring history to the foundation board. We've gone through some difficult times, and yet we're back now full force. We took a leap of faith last year and hired our first staff employee, Na, who is here today and will speak after me, I guess. Just between the new foundation board members and Na's energy and enthusiasm, there's just a lot of things going on behind the scenes that people don't know about, and yet you see the results of their efforts. And I just want to say that I'm proud to be part of that board, and I want to thank Amber for steering the boat a lot of times, sometimes in tumultuous situations, but she finds calm waters. And lastly, just to thank the volunteers who show up at the shelter religiously, making sure every shift is covered. They come in during the heat of the day and during the winter and storms. They're just very dedicated. And I think they deserve a shout out as well. And I guess Na, of course, has been our guiding light at this point, and she has stepped up. She has endless energy, seemingly, and has made a tremendous contribution. And I hope to see where we go from here. So thank you, Na. Thank you, Amber. Thank you, board.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gabby.
Thank you so much, Kathy. So grateful to work with an amazing board, with members who are all like Kathy and contribute in different ways. So good morning, my name is Nandrin Halpern, and I'm the executive director of the Santa Cruz County Animal Shelter Foundation. I just had my first year anniversary on the job, like I said, in support and in partnership with an amazing board and a team of volunteers. We've also been working in partnership with shelter staff and many community collaborators. And the foundation has, as Kathy mentioned, been able to find some really solid footing in this last year. I know that you've been hearing updates at each of the meetings from Amber and will continue to do so, but I wanted to add a little bit to her report today. There has been significant outreach with events and meetings with the foundation, and we've been supporting in advertising and public relations with print, electronic, and broadcast media. It includes the Santa Cruz Sentinel, Good Times, Growing Up in Santa Cruz, Lookout Santa Cruz, K-Pig, Santa Cruz Voice, Community TV, just the list goes on and on. These vehicles help to promote the shelter and the foundation generally, but it also helps to do marketing for specific events, programs, and services, both. In fact, there was a very thoughtful and thorough article this morning in Lookout about the incredible work of the animal control officers, if you haven't seen that yet. I'm happy to forward it. I'm sure Amber can also share that with you. That connection to the report was facilitated by one of our incredible board members, Nancy Newby, who's not with us today. But the story really highlights the challenges of the work in the community with the animal control officers and our shelter generally. But I really encourage a good reading. It's very moving and very inspiring, actually. So thank you again for your guidance and care of the animal shelter. I know there's always so much work that's happening on the ground, as well as the effort to look at the big picture, the long-term visioning, and all of this done in the challenging context of the current federal administration and budget cuts. So in the upcoming year, with what we can offer is that we look forward to contributing to the strategic planning process. We are also really motivated about the efforts to support the thrivingness of our staff and our volunteers at the shelter. And of course, looking at the structural budget deficit ongoing. I hope that the foundation can play an important role, a contributing role with you all. And I hope that you'll reach out anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nell and Kathy, for taking the time to come and speak to us. I sit on a lot of boards, and volunteerism is not always easy to come by, so thank you very much for what you do. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Anyone? Nope. All right, we will move on to the consent agenda.
Actually, Chair Ryan, if we can go back to introductions, I just wanted to introduce everyone to Helen Bailey, who is our new Assistant Departmental Administrative Analyst. She took Gerardo's place, and prior to that it was Joe, sort of in this chair. So I just wanted to introduce and welcome Helen. She will be your main point of contact for board communications moving forward.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. If you have questions, concerns, anything, please feel free to reach out at any point in time. Thanks so much.
She's responsible for these nice organized binders. Super helpful.
Thank you.
That's important.
All right. Let Nicole come up here and get settled. So we'll be moving on to the consent agenda items. We have 12 items. Can we get a motion for the consent agenda items?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Chief Bridges. And a second?
Second.
All right. All approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, we will move on to our regular agenda, which is the general manager's report. Amber?
Thank you.
Oh, do we have any public comment on consent items? All right, seeing none. All right, we will move on to the general manager's oral report.
Thank you. If I can make that work. Okay. This will be a relatively short meeting today. Thanks for making the trip down to Watsonville. if you came from Santa Cruz. So shelter staff and volunteers had a really fabulous time at the Santa Cruz Pride Parade. We decorated our SUV and walked in the parade and had a wonderful time. It was really heartwarming event to participate in. We held three separate adoption promotion events during June and July, including the second annual California Adopt-A-Pet Day. And on that day, we adopted out 42 adoptions. All of those were fully sponsored by the ASPCA and the San Francisco SPCA, which is really wonderful that they're doing that statewide. We did another Bissell Clear the Shelters promotion, and that was a 15-day promotion of partly subsidized adoption fees, and we adopted out 162 animals over that period. And then we also had another one-day promotion called Kitty Palooza, and we had 18 cats adopted at reduced rates, and then and a total of 26 adoptions that day. So even a cat-specific event brought in some additional adoptions, which was great. One of our animal care workers, Jesse Williams, put together another fantastic what he calls Purr Fest, which is a way that he celebrates his birthday. And Jesse's into the alternative music and alternative punk scene, and so it was a pretty cool event that he put on at Barrios Unidos with a bunch of makers and local artisans and local bands. And then Supervisor Jill Ganley and our accountant Dana Morey coordinated a really magical event called Cats on Mats, which was yoga with kittens at the Capitola Mall, and that was a lot of fun. And then we also had our calendar contest wrapped up at the end of July. That grossed about $16,000 and will net probably around $11,000 by the time the calendars are all produced and distributed, and we hopefully will make some additional earnings through calendar sales when they come out, usually in November, I want to say October, November. Let's see, and then as Nan Kathy mentioned, the foundation's been incredibly busy and incredibly helpful. They coordinated two more wonderful dog hikes with BLM rangers at the Cotoni Coast Dairies Preserve. They worked with shelter manager Rudy Manriquez to get a group of promotoras trained, and those promotoras will be at the Strawberry Festival in Watsonville just recently, and then they are also going to be at some farmers markets in Watsonville, specifically to try to help spread the message and the services of the shelter in the South County area, spread awareness. Then the foundation also coordinated, I think, seven that I counted, fundraiser or awareness raising events with businesses around the county. And those are always great fun to attend and really help to build connections all around the county. The foundation also started a wonderful monthly program called Cuddle Connections. And that is a program in which local seniors come into the shelter to visit with sheltered animals, all sort of coordinated and what's the best word, assisted by foundation members and other volunteers. So that's a wonderful new activity that's happening every month at the shelter. And then as Nan mentioned, the foundation's been doing a bunch of advertising, which has really made a big difference. We've seen really amazing adoption numbers. So that is absolutely helping, I think, to get keep us top of mind for people is these advertising efforts. So that's incredibly appreciated. Staff and volunteers also conducted another free Healthy Pets for All vaccine clinic at the VFW hall across from the animal shelter, and we served 80 limited income families there, including 63 dogs and 45 cats. So looking at our statistics, intake has been high. We had 1,226 live non-wild animals come into the shelter, and so that was plenty of animals to keep us busy, but I wanted to point out that is 366 less animals than we had come in during this period last year. So I think that our prevention efforts are starting to make a dent, and that is super helpful. A couple of trends that we are still seeing, though, we are continuing to see that large dogs take a really long time to get adopted right now. The efforts that we've made to sort of increase efficiency and move the easy to move animals through the shelter quickly are paying off, because we're able to hold on to the longer stay animals a little bit longer, and the staff and the volunteers have a little more to offer them because we're moving these quick to move animals through the system faster. So it's all kind of a balancing act. You can find our statistics on pages 11 and 12 in the packet if you've got a binder. Another thing that we've seen quite a bit, unfortunately, is that we have a lot of puppies coming in, and unfortunately the puppies have a fairly high return rate. We have an overall low return rate, which is about 3.8% during this last period, so it's not a ton of animals get returned, but our puppies tend to get returned the most, and it's probably because they have really sharp little teeth and they like to chew on everything, and they're always a bigger commitment than people expect, but that is just something that we saw, especially during this period, was a number of puppies come back to us. And again, because we have had animals staying a little bit longer, or some animals staying a little bit longer, the shelter, even though our numbers were down from last year, the shelter has remained quite full throughout this entire period. On the outcomes front, we had 1,160 non-wild outcomes, and a whopping 48.9% adoption rate, which is pretty incredible. Shelters just don't have 50% adoption rates, so at least not open intake shelters. So it was really an amazing couple of months. With adoptions, we adopted out 568 total animals during June and July. We also had an 18.7% return to owner rate, and we transferred 17.4% of the animals to our partners. Our euthanasia rate was about 13.5% in non-wild animals, and that's for medical or behavioral reasons. We also included in the packet our spay-neuter statistics, and I just want to mention that in June and July of last year, our clinic performed 381, this is page 15 of your packet. In June and July of last year, the clinic performed 381 surgeries on sheltered animals and 51 surgeries on what we call foster to adopt animals. So those are animals that were adopted before they had a chance to be spayed or neutered. This year, the clinic spayed and neutered 543 shelter animals, and they only had to do 3 foster to adopt animals. So what that indicates is that our shelter is more efficiently processing animals, if you will, getting them through that spay-neuter pipeline to get them fixed. The clinic team has really been working super hard these last 2 months to stay ahead of that curve. The nice thing about not having to do a lot of foster-to-adopt spay-neuters is that we don't have to coordinate return visits and appointments and all of that with clients. We just need to get the animals through the sort of assembly line of spay neuter and then out onto the adoption floor. So that's a really awesome statistic that I'm really excited to see. And let's see, and overall it allowed us to perform 84 more surgeries over that period than we did last year during this period. So staffing has continued to be a little challenging. We're starting to make some headway with new staff, Helen Bailey being one of them. And then Jara Maness started as a new full-time animal care worker, and Isabella Blatau-Mayer, I'm not even sure how to say her last name because it's hard to spell, and she is our new extra help animal care worker. We have one additional full-time animal care worker, Michelle McAllister, who has accepted an offer, and we're going to onboard her in the coming weeks. Unfortunately, in the clinic, however, the search is now on for 2 registered veterinary technicians. Our RVT, Shadia Valverde, gave her notice and separated at the end of July. And then our other full-time RVT, Cheyenne Harlacher, she's already reduced her hours to half-time, and then she's going to be going on extended medical leave in early to mid-September. So we have openings posted now for 1 permanent and 1 substitute full-time registered vet tech. So those positions are posted, and we are scheduling interviews for that. This does have notable impacts on clinic operations to have to be down in our RVT. We have an extra help RVT who is assisting a bunch, and then we have our great animal health specialists who are also assisting a little bit in the clinic to help us get through things. We are going to be, with these hirings, we're going to apply another hiring and retention bonus package for the permanent RVT position. This is This will be the fourth out of five incentive packages that were approved by the JPA and the County Board of Supervisors in early 2023. That'll leave one more incentive package if that substitute position eventually becomes permanent. The RVT positions are highly competitive, and that's why the incentive packages were initially adopted and approved. It's very difficult. They're like unicorns. They're very difficult to find and very difficult to sort of keep. And so that hiring incentive has been really key to our ability to recruit people. And the incentive is going to be funded through salary savings that we've already accrued so far this fiscal year, which leads us into the vacancy that we have with our volunteer coordinator position. I'm still in discussions with SEIU around slightly revising the job specifications, but we are likely, that position's been vacant since April 4th of 2025, and we really need a volunteer coordinator because we have so many wonderful volunteers and they need more support than I'm able to give them as a fill-in. And so we will likely go ahead and just post that job with the existing specification in order to move forward. And then finally, our substitute animal control officer position, it has remained vacant. We're still working with HR to resolve a situation with an officer that we have on long-term medical leave. We had a wonderful Eagle Scout and his friends constructed a new shade structure and benches for our back exercise yard in Santa Cruz. And then our new storage container did get delivered last week to Watsonville, and so we're scheduling the fencing updates that will subdivide the exercise yard and enclose a larger secure parking area, and then we're going to do the paving and concrete work next. Those exterior improvements are funded mainly or almost entirely through a grant from the 1440 Foundation, which was secured through our foundation. So foundations working together to get some much-needed work done at Watsonville facility. We are also having the furnaces at the Watsonville shelter replaced near the end of this month. That's something that's been needing to be done for a long time. And then for any of you who have never visited the Watsonville shelter, we wanted to put forth a couple of dates as possible tour dates. And so on this slide there, you see Thursday, August 21st, Tuesday, August 26th, or Friday, August 29th as possible tour dates for the Watsonville shelter. And the best time is probably 11:30 to start those tours. So whether you want to check in after this meeting and let Helen know if and when you'd like to come on a tour of the Watsonville shelter, or if you want to speak up now, I don't know which way works best. But that's something that I would like to make sure that everybody has a chance to see the Watsonville facility. We could potentially hold off until after we finish up these improvements, if you prefer. But I wanted to just offer some dates in case anybody was interested in seeing the Watsonville shelter sometime soon. And then finally, our Parks and Recs annual event is this coming Saturday, the 16th, at the Simpkins Swim Center in Live Oak. And the funds that are raised during that event go to the youth programs for the parks and also to the shelter's general fund. And the raffle tickets that they sell are actually the biggest fundraiser as part of that event. So there are links on our website to get to the Parks and Recs registration site to either come and swim with your dog or come and swim and watch the dogs have fun, or just to buy raffle tickets. And I think that wraps it up. Any questions?
Any questions from the board for Amber? All right. The dogs actually swim in the Simpkins pool?
Yes, so at this is the end of their summer season, and so before they do their major pool cleaning, they started doing this about 10 years ago. This is the 10th annual Parks and Recs event, and so it's just they turn it into a dog pool party, and it's a lot of fun. I haven't been to it yet because I had to go to my daughter's wedding, and then last year we had our spay-neuter event the same weekend, and so this will be my first one. My dog will not swim. He only has one front leg, and he does not do well in the water.
I would imagine not. All right. Well, that would bring us to the end of our meeting at 11:25. Not missing anything. Okay. And so we look forward to hearing from you and Ella in our next meeting with our packet. Thank you very much for coming down, and we'll see you guys all next time.
Thank you.